Now, the upper story there was the station master's dwelling. It was, well, it was quite an extensive flat. And the station master for many years was a man called Wilson. And he always dressed as if he was either a bank manager or a cabinet minister, always in black suit and whatnot, very gentlemanly type of chap. And he had one son who went to the grammar school, Billy his name was. I don't know what eventually happened to him, but he was besotted with railways, and he used to go spend all his days, all his spare time on Southdown Station. And he got so accomplished on the old semaphore-type equipment of messages sent on that he could put out more words per minute than any of the clerical staff there. And short of driving a train, there was virtually nothing that he didn't know or could do connected with the railways. The staff at Southdown Station consisted of the aforementioned station master, and then the head of the clerical staff was a very fussy little man called Tom Hubbard. The rule book was his Bible. No variations were allowed from the company's rules and regulations, whatever. And to illustrate this point, I'll come up with a little personal thing again. My doctor and my father's doctor for many years was Dr. Dean at Galston, K. Hamilton Dean. At that time, very often, medical supplies, etc., was sent by train from London. Anyway, Dr. Dean got a phone call one day, and he was out in his garden. He had quite a big garden at the back of his surgery years ago, and he was a keen gardener, and he was out there in his hat and jacket and whatnot, looking rather dishevelled, doing his gardening. And a phone call came through to say that there was a parcel at Southdown Station awaiting collection. So he got in his old Rover car, and he drove there, and he went into the front office and said to the aforementioned Mr. Hubbard, you've got a parcel there for Dr. Dean. Could you let me have it, please? And Hubbard said, who are you? Well, he said, I'm Dr. Dean. Well, have you got any identification? He said, oh dear, no, I haven't. He said, don't you know me? He said, no, I don't. So he said, that's a problem then. I haven't got... And just then my dad walked through, you see, and Dr. Dean said, Percy, will you tell this man who I am? So, of course, my dad said, well, it's Dr. Dean. So Hubbard said, well, if you can verify him for him. So Dean said, well, I know I don't much look like a doctor. I look more like a tramp. But I can assure you I am Dr. Dean. Anyway, as a result of my father verifying the fact that he was Dr. Dean, the parcel was handed over. Well, anyway, that rather long-winded thing, Hubbard was the chief clerk, if you like. The resident ticket collector was a man called Leek, Mr. Leek. And the resident shunter was a thick-set burly man by the name of Eagle. And he was on duty one day during the war when a soldier attempted to alight from the London train coming in, and as was a dangerous but common practice those days, people used to throw the carriage doors open and jump out before the train had actually come to a standstill. Well, he lost his footing and he disappeared under the train, and the railway staff, of course, including the aforementioned man Eagle, went under, and the train, unfortunately, had severed both his legs. So a doctor was called to, well, administer morphine and whatnot on the spot. Anyway, moving on, the travelling ticket collector at Yarmouth Southdown, his stint each day was up to London twice and back. Very smart little man called Knowles, and his thing was he always had a fresh buttonhole to start the day every morning. Well, of course, there were various other people there, the local men. Funnily enough, apart from when they were operating a train together, the local men really had nothing to do with the platform staff. There was a clear dividing line between the two. where I lived, at Cobham, there were two railway drivers and a guard, both lived on the road. One of them was Mr. Pinnock, and the other driver was a man called Folger, Jimmy Folger. Quite a cheerful man, really. And he had an unfortunate experience during the war because he was on the footplate of the train coming from London and a German bomber decided to strafe the train. Fortunately, he wasn't hit, but the duckboards on the footplate had machine gun bullets in them, shook them up very badly, him and the fireman. But as I say, luckily, they escaped injury.